Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
The scripture reading today is from the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verses 9 and 10. And the angel said to me, "Write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are true words of God." Then I fell down at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, "You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your comrades who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. We pray with me. Eternal and gracious God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditation and the inspiration in all of our hearts this day be acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. This morning I want to talk about the marriage feast of the Lamb. For this season of November, this has been a Thanksgiving season. It's a time when we offer ourselves in a spirit of gratitude to one another and to others, and to celebrate, as we have, many of us, this past week, the grand Thanksgiving dinner, which is a grand and great part of our American heritage. Part of that dinner is the saying of the Thanksgiving grace. Part of my theme throughout this November sermon series has been, what does it mean to live out the Great Thanksgiving? The Great Thanksgiving is the prayer that we pray once a month on the first Sunday of the month when we come down and share the sacrament of Holy Communion. And we all join together in this prayer, and it's called the Prayer of the Great Thanksgiving. You know it. It goes, "The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your voice. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give our thanks and praise. It is good, always good, and a joyful thing, always and everywhere in every way, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth." Always and in every way, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. That's how the great prayer begins. It ends with, "Lord, make us one with Christ. Make us one with each other. Make us one in ministry to all the world. Until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet." That's what I want to talk about this morning. What does it mean to feast at his heavenly banquet? What is it? Well, it comes to us from the book of Revelation. This incredibly bizarre and wonderful book that's at the end of the Bible. This letter from this John of Patmos, who has these incredible visions and signs and wonders, that has been the curiosity of Christians for the ages. What is in this book that is so mysterious and marvelous and wonderful that we continue to read it with fascination? Some read it hoping to discover its secrets and its codes for unciphering the mysteries of the prophetic future. Others read it in the context of the day in which it was written as an understanding of how the Christian church in that day was to live out its conviction that Jesus Christ is king in the midst of a Roman Empire that is trying to squelch it. Still, the book is fascinating. It is filled with incredible images and powerful symbols. And even to this day, the symbols continue their power. The wedding feast of the Lamb. What is it? So who is the Lamb? Well, scriptures tell us quite clearly who the Lamb is and what the Lamb is about. If you want to follow with me in your Bibles, if you've got them, if you have your Bibles and you want to work with me with this, you'll probably get a little deeper understanding. I'm turning to the Gospel of John, the first chapter, the 29th verse. Gospel of John, the first chapter, the 29th verse. This has to do with John the Baptist has his disciples around him. He sees Jesus coming towards him and he declares, "Behold, here is the Lamb of God." And then he looks again and he says, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." That's important. This is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Now, those who were around John the Baptist at the time were Jews. They understood what the sacrificial lamb was. The sacrificial lamb was the pure, unblemished lamb that the priest takes into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement and sacrifices on behalf of the Jewish people in order for the Jewish people to atone for their sins, a sacrifice of forgiveness. The pure, unblemished lamb given in sacrifice for the forgiveness of the Jewish people. John the Baptist says, "Behold, this one is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." This is the one who, when he is slain, will cover the sins of the world. The Lamb of God. The wedding feast. The Bible tells us in many places about weddings. Jesus loved weddings, and he loved talking about weddings. One of the great events of Jesus' ministry was his very first miracle. We're still in the Gospel of John. Now we move to the second chapter of the Gospel of John. On the third day, there was a wedding in the little town of Cana in Galilee. The little town of Cana was not far from Nazareth. Jesus and his mother and some of his disciples were invited to the wedding. Now, over my pastoral career, I have officiated many weddings. I would say hundreds. I have officiated weddings in grand cathedrals and in living rooms, on Georgia plantations and down by the riverside, on mountains and in gardens, in grand hotels and not so grand hotels. If you want my wedding advice, how to plan a wedding, I'll give it to you. Have a Christian wedding in a church and have a Jewish reception. Now, the reason I say that is I've been a part of a Christian wedding and a Jewish reception. In this particular case, the bride grew up Jewish, and she converted to Christianity. She married a Christian Gentile, and I mean, when the time for the wedding took place, she wanted a Christian wedding, but her family insisted the reception was gonna be Jewish, to the delight of everybody, because a Jewish reception is full of life. I mean, it is everybody circles up and we do the Jewish danced Havanagila while the bride and the groom are lifted high above everyone on chairs in the center of the circle, and we're all dancing around as they're parading the bride and the groom, and we're singing to high heaven. It is one of the most joyous events you can experience. That's a Jewish reception. That's what's going on here. Jesus in this little village of Cana had been invited to a wedding. In those days, weddings took 2 or 3 days. It was a very big event. All of the village comes out. On this particular day, when the wedding takes place, the bride and the groom are the king and the queen of the town. And it's a big deal. And there's singing, and there's drinking, and there's eating, and it's the party of all parties. When there's a wedding in the village, everybody takes part. And this is what's going on. And evidently it was a pretty big party because soon the wine goes out. Now this is the interesting part of the story. See, Jesus' mother is there at the wedding. She notices that they've run out of wine. She turns to her son and says, "Son, take care of this." And Jesus says, "Mom," actually he says, "Woman, Mom, it's not my time yet." Mother says, "Jesus, take care of this." So there are 6, the scriptures say, very tall stone jugs, jars, filled with several gallons of Jewish holy water. Water used for purification, ritual purification. Big jars filled with water, holy water. To be used when someone has defiled themselves, either by touching something unclean or finding themselves with certain lesions or skin imperfections. They use ritual holy water as a cleansing agent to clean their outside. Jesus transforms these 6 jugs of Jewish holy water into pure wine, so that all those who partake of this new libation will be clean from the inside. That's what Holy Communion is all about, to be completely clean. For Jesus, weddings are a big deal. In the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 14, he talks about weddings. He talks about wedding dinners. He talks about being invited to wedding dinners. And he says, when you're invited as a guest to a wedding, don't make the assumption to just go sit where you want to sit. Wait for the host to tell you where to sit so you might not be embarrassed. He tells a big parable about, important parable, about a man who gives a grand and great banquet. He's at a feast himself at the moment. Let me tell you the story of a man who gives a grand and big banquet. And he invites all his friends to come because everything is prepared. And he says to them, you know, come to my feast. And he starts getting replies that they can't come. I've just bought a piece of property, I can't show up. I've just bought a cow and I can't make it. I just got married and I don't have time. And so the host of the grand banquet gets upset and he says, well, if you're not coming, I'm opening the invitation list to everyone. Everyone, the banquet is ready and the table must be filled. Come one, come all. Go out into the highways and byways and invite everyone to the banquet. Jesus loved banquets. Back to Revelation. The marriage feast of the Lamb. The book of Revelation is the last book in the Bible. It is the book that culminates the ultimate plan of God. And it ends in a wedding, a marriage. That is the classic of all classic literature, all romantic comedies, end with a wedding. All that has been disrupted and separated and confused, all comes together at the end in a wedding. Shakespeare loved that theme. Most of all of Shakespeare's comedies end with a wedding. In our Bible, it starts with an estrangement, a brokenness of humanity from God and Adam and Eve, and it ends with a wedding. Every story you've probably ever heard of that ends in a wedding has a concluding remark. Remember what that is? And they lived. And that is the book of Revelation. But we're not done. You have a question. Who is the bride? If this is a wedding, the Lamb is the groom. Who is the bride? Revelation 21. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And then I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is with mortals, human beings, and he will dwell with them as their God, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them, and he will wipe away every tear from their eye. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." Who's the bride? All that make up the new Jerusalem. In this case, it's all of the redeemed of God's creation. Who is invited to the marriage feast of the Lamb? Who is written on the guest list? You are. Behold the Lamb of God who saves the sins of the world. Who's on the guest list? You are. The next question is, will you accept the invitation? That's the trick. Or if you're like a lot of people these days, you are reluctant to send in your RSVP because you're waiting on something better. There's nothing better than the wedding feast of the Lamb. Maybrook and I were in England, as many of you know, a couple of weeks ago. And one of the things that we discovered while we were there is a little church in Norwich that most of the people who even grew up in the town don't know about. It's a little church that was built in 900 AD. And what became famous or particular about it was that in the 1300s, there was a woman who, for some reason we're not sure of, became an anchorist, which means a woman hermit, who lived in a little one-room cell-like building adjacent to the church. She lived there alone in private as a hermit. Her name was Julia. Julia of Norwich. When she was 31 years old, she became very sick, a deep illness. Out of this illness, she had visions. She was 31 years old. when she got better, she began to write down what she had experienced in these visions. 16 revelations of divine love. Many people consider this the very first book written in English by a woman. 16 revelations of divine love. In this book, she cites an experience she had in the presence of God. When God speaks to her and says, "All shall be well. All shall be well. All matter of thing shall be well." And that became the depth of her theology and understanding and her counsel. When those who would come to her and sit outside her window and ask for consolation and help and prayers, her answer would be, "All shall be well. All shall be well. All matter of thing shall be well." That short little line is the complete interpretation of the book of Revelation. And it's so poignant that it's something I think would be helpful for all of us to have in our head. All shall be well. All shall be well. All matter of thing shall be well. It's God's way of saying, "And live happily ever after." Even in the midst of trials and temptations and struggles that we all find ourselves in this present day and age, having a heart that has a deep conviction of hope and knowing ultimately in God's master plan, in the final of finals, there is the wedding of God and humanity in grace and peace, and pain and suffering and death will be no more. Everybody, together, let's say this. It'll do you good. All shall be well. All shall be well. All matter of things shall be well. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.